Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians. I almost said Acts. That's later on. The book of Philippians. We'll continue our study in this wonderful book. And in this book, there's no censor. It's a book of joy. Paul's in prison. And he wrote, I read yesterday, he wrote Colossians, Ephesians, and Philippians, and possibly even Philemon at the same time in the same imprisonment. So, and of course, Onesimus was the one who took the letter to Philemon, but now as a brother in Christ. So, this book is just wonderful. Again, it's a book of joy and peace. And how does that come to us? Only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way to have peace. Men try to make peace in this world, they end up breaking it, don't they? Because we're a bunch of sinners. That's why. You know, it used to be here that Promise Keepers. Remember that group right there? We used to be called Promise Keepers. Notice they're no longer around. Yeah. Men can't keep promises. No. And men can't keep peace either. They try to make peace. They make peace and then they break it. Somebody breaks it. And that's just because of sin. Just because of sin. But the only way for us to have peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true peace. And that's a peace that's foreign to us. It's not natural for us. We can't manufacture it. We can't make it. People try to make peace. Oh, I'm gonna be peaceful with everyone. Next thing you know, somebody cuts you off. Right? Dave, no, you don't usually just say hi, do you? No, Dave says just say hi. No, that usually doesn't happen. So, but it's true. We're by nature we're sinners by birth, nature, and choice. And peace with God, we see in verse 2, comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this peace spoken of here, notice it's foreign to us. It comes to us from God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And again, this peace can't be manufactured. We can't make this peace. It comes from God. It comes from God. And how do we have peace with God? Through the blood of Christ. Right? The only way to have peace with God is through the blood of Christ. We can't have peace otherwise. But that blood of Christ, that redeeming precious blood, gives us peace with God. Because you know why? Because all our sins are forgiven. They're all gone. They're all forgiven. Washed in the blood, yeah. Never to be remembered by God ever again. And were all our sins future at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago? Well, if he paid for all our sins then, that means he paid for every one of them, didn't he? Sins in our past, sins in our present, and sins in our future. Isn't that amazing? That's truth. All gone, yeah, all behind his back. He can't see them anymore. They're gone. They're washed. One commentator said they're in the ocean of forgetfulness. Never to be remembered again. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. Let's read verses 1 to 7 to get our context today. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints. Now, notice that word all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, there's the all again, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Look at that. Who began it? Amen. God be. Hey, amen, sister God. Work in you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's till the day of his coming. My, oh my. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Now, that's the third time he said all. He's branching all the saints together. Do you notice that? There's no hierarchy. And do you notice at first, this is wonderful. I was reading a commentary yesterday, and notice this at first. In verse 1, he mentions all the saints before he mentions the bishops and the deacons. Because they're all sinners saved by grace. The only hierarchy is what man makes. I'm a servant of the church, right? We're all servants of Christ. You see? But first and foremost, before being a servant to Christ, to the church, I'm a servant to Christ with you. Why do men get higher up and feel higher up? You were saying about those six guys that walk in and decide which one's worthy to do communion. That's awful. That wasn't even in my notes. You just told me about that. But that's awful, isn't it? Sister Karen was saying about this church where these six leaders come in and they all dressed in black robes and they sit at the front and decide which one is worthy to give communion for that day. This is the stuff that's going on in religion, beloved. You know what? You know what? No one's worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And the only reason we're worthy to have communion is because we do it in remembrance of what he's done for us. Right? Shed his blood to save our souls. I used to laugh when folks used to say, well, make sure you go through, or I didn't laugh, but I actually got terrified when they said, make sure you check yourself if there's any sin in your life. And I've told you this many times. I said, I'm never going to be able to have communion again in my life. Because that's when the Lord was showing me. I was just a dirty, rotten sinner. But praise God, it's a remembrance of what he's done for us. And none of us is worthy. But praise God, we have this ordinance to remember what our King did for us. Washed us in his precious blood. As Dave said, our sins are cast behind God's back. Where's God's back? Scripture says the universe can't even contain him. Oh my gosh. Gone. Look at this. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. They're very dear. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace. Now take note here, Paul is asserting his confidence that these believers in Philippi are true believers. He knows them. He has an intimate relationship with them. He's the one who started the work there. Lydia's heart was opened up, remember? That was the start. Then the Philippian jailer, the Lord saved the Philippian jailer. And there's the start of the church right there. Isn't that wonderful? And it's just growing. And as Paul was there preaching the gospel, it grew and grew by the power of God, right? Not because of Paul, but by the gospel he's preaching, right? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? And he's preaching Christ. He said in Corinthians, I'm determined not to preach anything but Christ and him crucified. Every gospel preacher, we're determined not to preach anything but Christ. You heard those preachers down south, they're determined to preach Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters except preaching Christ. And so what Paul says of these believers is true. You know how we know that? Because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. These are Paul's words of affection, but they're inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. You ever think of that when we're reading these? These are the words of the authors, but they're inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. They're his words. So if the Holy Spirit calls them saints, they're saints, aren't they? Think of that even with the Corinthians. They were having so much trouble. People say, I had one fellow one time tell me, he said, I think they were all lost. I said, no, they're not. They're not lost. Because they're called saints. They're called believers. See, we can get ourselves in a mess of trouble, beloved. But if the Lord's got us, right, if he saved us, is he going to let us go? He's not, is he? I'll tell you. I think sometimes folks think, well, you know, they get in this mentality that I've done this, it's so awful. Repent of it and move on. Trust that Christ has forgiven you for all your sins. If it's true, if you're truly born again, just move on. Right? But confess it to him. Of course, we're to confess. We're to confess it to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise his mighty name. Right? My, oh my. Notice in verse 1, he calls them saints. This is a term that applies to every believer. It has nothing to do with the false teaching of the canonization of the Catholic Church. Nothing. Those folks they call saints are not saints. Oh my. Nope. And these believers, they're born again, blood-washed believers, they're sanctified, therefore they're declared to be, they're sanctified in Christ, therefore they're declared by the Holy God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're declared to be sanctified. They're saints, which means they're made holy. And that's nothing in us, is it? That's in Christ Jesus our Lord, who fulfilled all righteousness in our room and place. It's wonderful. This message of God's grace is absolutely wonderful for sinners. I'll tell you what. And they're made holy, they're sanctified, because the Lord Jesus Christ has been made to be their holiness. He's our holiness. We don't have any holiness. We know that. Outside of Christ, there's no holiness, is it? But if we're in Christ, we're made holy by him. Now, let's try to wrap our minds around that, hey? It's true, though. Isn't that wonderful? No wonder this is called the Epistle of Joy. It just makes your heart leap. My goodness. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 31. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Now, he's writing to those Corinthians that were all messed up. First chapter, he says this. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. He didn't say, well, maybe. Remember, these are Paul's words, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, the true author. So the Holy Spirit's saying to them, you're in Christ. Man, that's amazing. And they were messed up just like we're all messed up. But he says this, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So it's all in him. That according to it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We can only glory in the Lord. That's the only one. Brother Travis, that's the only one. We can only glory in Christ, can't we, for what he's done. We can't glory in ourselves. We've got nothing to glory in. Now we like to boast, don't we? Let us boast in Christ then. Right? Because there ain't nothing in this old sinner to boast about. And I know there ain't nothing in the sinners before me to boast about. But let's boast that Christ has saved us. Let's boast in him. Let's give him all the glory. Let's give him all the honor. Let's give him all the praise for the great work he's done. Oh my. And secondly, Paul and these brethren have a history. He was used by God to establish this church, beloved. He did not pull some record of who walked down an aisle. He didn't do that. He didn't have to do that. He saw the change in them. He saw the Lord save them by the preaching of the word. He didn't say, well, now close your eyes and bow your head. Did you ever, when you were in those kind of churches, did you all want to look up and just keep your eyes on?
Yeah.
Everybody did that, didn't we? Oh, well, that fellow's waiting. Oh, my. But Paul, and I'll tell you what, in the last 3 or 4 years since we had that episode occur, I've seen so much growth in the church, in you guys. It's been amazing. It's been amazing. As your pastor, I'm just sitting back watching what the Lord's doing, and it's absolutely incredible. And he's knit our hearts together even more, hasn't he? And we're going to see that's the fellowship of the gospel. That's what he does for us. It's the love of Christ in us. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. That's 4 and 2, yeah. So Paul had spent time with these folks. See, when a preacher spends time with a congregation, like my heart is knit to you guys now. I mean, when all that stuff happened, Vicky said, are we staying? We're going. I said, we're staying. I couldn't leave. How can I leave? I love you guys. Yeah, God sent me here to preach the gospel. I'm going to stay here and preach the gospel. And the Lord worked it all out, didn't he? Yeah, and that's all. I'm just supposed to feed the sheep. I'm just supposed to preach the gospel, right? And I'll try to do that to the best of what the Lord gives me. And I'll stumble and I'll talk funny sometimes. But I'm just going to preach Christ to you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So Paul had a relationship with the church like we have. It's amazing. Look at verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So they were being brought up into his mind. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So he includes them all there. He's not just cherry picking people. He includes them all. I love our little prayer list. We're just praying for folks and putting it out there. And isn't that wonderful? And have you noticed? It just joins our hearts together even more, beloved. Isn't it wonderful? It's wonderful. Dave, you got to get a phone. He says in verse 7 that... Oh, I love you, brother.
I love you too.
Oh, man. Now, the third point of how Paul had confidence that they were truly saved is found in verse 7 and 8. And here, this is what you hit on, Dave, just earlier. They have a mutual love. And this love is foreign. This love is not natural for us. This is the love of God in Christ that's wrought in us by the Holy Spirit of God. And it's amazing. It's amazing. It's true love. Look at this, verses 7 and 8. Even if it is meat for me, that's suitable, to think this of you all, because I have, look at, he said you all again, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. And then look at verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. The bowels there is the heart. He longs to be with them. He longs to see them. He longs to, like how we embrace and you know, we love each other. And that's how he loved these folks. He personally knows them. You know, he's been in the trenches with them. He saw the growth in them. My, oh my. And he says in verse 7 there, when it says meet, that's suitable to think of them because they were in his heart. They're in his heart, beloved. I can't tell you how many of us grace preachers, we always say when we're away, we're thinking of the folks that comprise up the church in our area. It's amazing. It's amazing. We're praying for the preacher that's going to preach to you. We're praying for you all to receive it. Right? And our hearts, I'll be honest with you, our minds are more here than they are there. It's true, though. It's amazing. And every preacher you talk to, it's the same. You know, Norm tells me that all the time. He goes, I love being here, but I sure love going home, too. You miss the sheep. Yeah, you miss the folks because they're family. And one of the marks of love is that the loved one is often thought of. You ever think of that too? We think a lot of those who we love. So Paul here is saying that he loves them and they're in his heart, which is the seat of affection. And believers joy in thoughts of one another and thoughts of love and joy for the brethren. What's a common thread that binds believers together in love? There it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. He's the common thing, the common one that binds us. We're in Christ. And his precious blood has redeemed every one of us who are his people. You see, we have a bond together. We have the same Father, God the Father. We have the same Savior, redeemed by his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the same Spirit, born again by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why we say salvation's of the Lord. That's why. There's no other way. No other way. So God, and also, you know what else is a common thread amongst believers? The grace of God. We've all been shown grace, haven't we? We've all been saved by grace, and that grace is the grace of God. That's also another common thread that binds us together. My, that the grace of God puts us all in the same boat, doesn't it? Sinners saved by grace. We sail in the ship called Sinners Saved by Grace, don't we? And we're heading home, aren't we? Not of ourselves. And the only way we're in that boat, heading home to glory, is because God put us in there. And we're fellows in the ship, aren't we? That's what Bruce Crabtree told me one time. He said, fellowship, fellows in the ship. We're just on our way to glory, beloved. Oh my, it's wonderful. I'll tell you why. We've all been saved by the same sovereign grace, haven't we? All of us. And we, as the redeemed of the Lord, we have constant reason now for thanksgiving, don't we? There's no reason why we shouldn't be thankful. You don't have to make God's people thankful. You don't have to guilt God's people to be thankful. Now, we'll get down just like everybody else, but boy, we can get up quick again when we think about how good God is to us, can't we? And how thankful we are for his salvation in his precious blood. How thankful we are for the deliverance from all our sins and eventually the deliverance from this body of death as we go home to glory to be with the Lord. My, oh my. See, we have a hope, beloved. What a hope we have. Oh my. Now let's read verse 5 here. Oh my. And think of this, we as the redeemed of the Lord have constant reason for thanksgiving. We thank God for his temporal mercies. We thank God for his spiritual mercies. And we also thank God, again, for the deliverance from this body of death. But above all, we thank God for Christ, his unspeakable gift. Right? More than anything, we thank God for Christ. Now let's read verse 5. Look at this, is a wonderful verse. This will be our verse for today. Oh my. We see Paul is thankful and he rejoices in the fact. Now why is he rejoicing? Their fellowship together in the gospel. He's thankful to our great God for their salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Are you thankful for your brothers and sisters' salvation? We are. Our own two and our brothers and sisters. And when we hear the Lord saving someone, or bringing someone over to hear the gospel preached from somewhere where they don't hear, we rejoice. It's wonderful. Praise God. I'll tell you what, saints are scattered all through this world, beloved. They're scattered all over the place. My, oh my. Look at this. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So we see also, until now, that speaks of their perseverance. But who's keeping them? It's the Lord keeping them, isn't it? Lord's keeping them. Yeah. But he also thanks God for their first day, for when the Lord saved them. When they were born again by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word. And there was a fellowship of faith and love with Paul and the saints here in Philippi to serve the king with a view for the furtherance of the gospel. And that's why we're here too, isn't it? We're here for the furtherance of the gospel. And we all serve the king. And our desire is that the gospel would go out, which it is, and be used by God to edify his people and to draw in his lost sheep. And we don't have to know about what's happening with that, do we? We just rejoice as it goes out. My, it's wonderful. So their bond was in the fellowship of the gospel. Their bond was in Christ. He is the gospel, isn't he? Is the gospel good news without Christ? No, there's no good news without Christ. The gospel's good news because Christ saved his people from all their sins and redeemed us by his precious blood and paid for all our sins so much so that God don't remember them anymore. That's wonderful, Brother Jim, isn't it? That's just wonderful. I'll tell you what. No wonder. Could you imagine? They'd be so joyful reading this letter. And we're only in verse 5. What joy it would bring them. Oh. So the bond of fellowship is union with Christ. union with Christ. The attraction was irresistible. When the Lord's drawn us to Christ, the attraction is irresistible. It's like a magnet drawing us. It's like the most powerful magnet in the world drawing us. Isn't it? And all you got to do is move that magnet and those pieces, they just... That's how we are drawn to Christ, beloved. Do you ever think of that? Irresistible grace. Amen, sister. Those little pieces of... You ever do that when you were a kid? Put down like... I used to get my dad's nails. Eh? My, you got these little nails. He'd wonder, there are nails everywhere. But I get these little nails, and I get... He had some good magnets. You get those magnets, and you move them. You move them a little closer, and nothing happens. You move them a little closer, and those magnets, or those nails start to go like this, right? You move them closer. Whoa! Before you even know it. That's what Christ does to us. He's drawn us. Dry bones. Drawn us, though. He's like a magnet, beloved. Oh. And I'll tell you what, once the force of that magnet starts to move, nothing. Those things are going to come flying, aren't they? Okay? Isn't it wonderful? See, that's a good way for us to think of how the Lord draws us. Because people say, well, but in the Greek it means he's dragging us. He fetches us. But that's a good way for us to picture it, isn't it? Those little pieces of metal can't resist that power of that magnet, can it? See, God is sovereign, beloved. He's absolutely sovereign. Aren't you thankful that he drew you to him? Oh, my. And those little things, sometimes you see them, they're holding back, and then once that force comes powerfully, whoosh, everything, all those pieces of metal, right to that magnet. Try it. It's fun to watch. It's incredible. But now we can look at it with how God draws us to Christ. Magnet of divine love, beloved. Directed at all our faculties, all our possessions, all our desires, so that we want to serve Christ in all those things. By our faculties, by our mind, by what we have, and by our desires. Now we want to serve Christ. Isn't that amazing? Because we're attached to that magnet now, aren't we? We're attached to Christ. We're his body. We're his body, beloved. Oh my. Paul did not live for himself, neither did the Philippians. And they had this wonderful fellowship together, which was they were born again by the Holy Spirit of God and they were in Christ. They've all been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his doing, which he fulfilled all righteousness in our place, and by his perfect life, and then by his dying, when his blood was shed to redeem our eternal souls. To pay the price for chosen sinners. He's the only substitute for sinners, isn't he, that God will accept. So the result of this mighty work in the Philippians, being born again, was this brotherly union. This brotherly union. My, oh my. You know, as a river flow to find one common rest in the sea, so the believers' hearts melted and ran into one fellowship. One fellowship. All their hearts melted together into one fellowship, and that was with Christ. That was looking to Christ. Where do we find our rest? Only in Christ. Amen, sister. Only in Christ. There's no rest anywhere else, is there? No rest anywhere else. My, and in Christ we find protection from the chill of this world and from the storms of this life and from the trials of this life. And they were going through persecution, so their refuge, their rest, was Christ. Amidst all the persecution they were going through. In Christ, their weak strength was, or their weak faith was strengthened. Do we find that? Yeah, we do, don't we? When I'm weak, he's strong. My, oh my. The timid heart became emboldened. Unity begat strength, all coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. All coming from him. And note the words here in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel, as I mentioned earlier, is a fellowship in Christ. This fellowship is not natural to us. It's not natural to us. It must be worked in us. When we're born again, now we have fellowship with God through Christ. We have fellowship with the saints through Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my. But you know what? We're going to see even before we were born again, we were in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Always a sheep. Like we looked at on Wednesday night, 100% sheep. God's sheep can never be goats, and goats can never be sheep. We don't know who they are, though. We have no idea. We'll find all that out on the other side, won't we? Yep. Oh, my. And think of this. This fellowship is not natural to us. It's not merely a fellowship of friendship, although we're all friends. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. And it's not merited by us. And it's not man-made. This fellowship is not man-made. This fellowship comes to us through the love of God spread abroad in our hearts. Oh my. This fellowship of the gospel is a fellowship of grace, and it's sovereignly affected by Jesus Christ our Lord, and it's a gift of God the Holy Spirit. And sent out to us by the Father, whereby now we cry, Abba Father, don't we? It's wonderful. I'll tell you what. And think of this. Apart from our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, this fellowship is entirely impossible. You ever think of that? Apart from a work of God, apart from a work of God, this fellowship is impossible. And marvel at this true fellowship between Christ and his people, even precedes time. You ever thought of that? Time is something God made. This fellowship between Christ and his people precedes time. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Before there was even time. You ever think of that? I read that yesterday and I went, oh my. Just another layer of wonderment, isn't it? Of what Christ has done. Now we read that, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's before time ever was. Man, we can't fathom that, because we are beings stuck in time until God takes us out of time. You know there are saints that went home to glory? They're no longer constrained by time. No, they're in eternity. Oh, it's wonderful. I'll tell you what, it's wonderful. Oh, in time, Jesus Christ, as it were, the magnet, for he draws us to himself. He draws those given to him by the Father. How does he draw us? How does he draw us? Well, he draws us by irresistible grace through the Word and the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And who's the one who makes it effectual? Someone tell me. Who's the one who makes it effectual? Christ, amen. But he sends the Comforter, doesn't he? Oh, it's wonderful. It just gets better and better and better. The more we learn about Christ, the more we learn about this wondrous salvation, it just gets better and better and better. And the Holy Spirit applies to those Christ draws, think of this, the Holy Spirit applies to those who Christ draws the merits of his death. We have had applied to us the merits of Christ's death. Someone says, well, you're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Well, I can't do that, but Christ did it for me. Okay? There you go, Dave. Completed in him. Isn't that wonderful? Everything God demands for the salvation of our soul, Christ did it for us. No wonder he cried, it's finished. No wonder he cried that. There's nothing to be added. It's done. And then we just rejoice over this, don't we? This wondrous truth, it's true. And we rejoice. We can rest in this. Oh, it's wonderful. I'll tell you what. I've been loving these Sunday school lessons because they're just, these letters have been amazing that we've been going through. Just amazing. So Jesus Christ, by the means of his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, and his coronation, attracts to himself, right? Draws to himself by abiding faith in himself that he gives to us, to all the elect of all the ages. He just draws them. Isn't that wonderful? And gives us faith to flee to him. My, oh my. It's I'll tell you what. In the person of Jesus Christ, he's the surety of every born-again, blood-washed saint of God. In Christ, we were trialed, we've been tried, we've been condemned, and we've been crucified. That's why God don't remember our sins anymore. They're all bought and paid for. So that condemnation will never fall upon us. Remember Noah in that ark? Not a drop of rain hit him, did it? Or his family. That pitch pictured the blood of Christ on that ark. Sealed inside there. The atonement. Amen. Yeah. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You're covered, brother. My. And we were raised with him too. Do you know that? He was raised for our justification. And you know scripture says right now we're seated with him in heavenly places? Right now. Right now. Get our mind around that. See, in God's, it's all done. In God. He knows the end from the beginning, doesn't he? He knows everything. Aren't you glad he's our Savior? Aren't you thankful he saved your soul? Well, I'll tell you what. Raised with him in heavenly places. So the believer's sanctification, the believer's justification, the believer's redemption. And the only mediator we have with God is Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have, he is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's what he is for us. And so what can we conclude from this? It's all of grace. Salvation's all of grace. I'll tell you what. I'm going to keep piping it out as the Lord gives me breath. Right? And we're never going to tire of hearing it, are we? Salvation's all of grace. All by the grace of God through Christ. And this fellowship is a fellowship of faith, too. We have the same faith. You know we have the same faith Abraham had? You know we have the same faith David had? You know we have the same faith Moses had? Isn't it wonderful? And for all of us, all those fellows I mentioned, and for all of us, it's given to us by the grace and mercy of God. Mm. And this faith embraces Christ. They look to Messiah, we look to Christ, who is the Messiah. It's wonderful. It's also a fellowship of prayer and thanksgiving, which we've seen in the verses preceding this verse. And this fellowship in the gospel is also a fellowship of believers in love. I want to close with this, in love for our great Redeemer. Love for our great Redeemer, love for the gospel of Christ, love for the Father, love for the Holy Spirit, and love for the saints. And that's all wrought in us by our great God. What do we say? Praise his mighty name. That's all we can say. Brother Travis, can you close us in prayer?